Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
I want to thank
God is the one and only true living God, the creator of heaven and the universe. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ.
I agree, Jesus Christ is the Lord. I believe in that.
Both as an American and as a Christian, I am going to stand with Israel.
Their theology, in part, is disregarding their Christian brothers and sisters. I met some of these Palestinian Christians and got to know them. They're delightful people, and they feel totally overlooked by their Christian brothers and sisters in the U.S.
Honestly, I think 30 years from now, it's the marriage redefiners who are going to look like knuckleheads.
And Derek, the tea guy from Seward, Nebraska, who drives his truck through Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan, and I rock Issues, etc. the whole way.
You can find them at flea markets and garage sales and estate sales. If you have an elderly family member, maybe they even still keep one at their bedside. Now, it used to be that regardless of what branch of Christianity you ascribed to, you had one with you. It was for you not only Sunday morning, but it was also every day. It was your prayer book. It was your hymnal. I remember seeing one of my ancestors' hymnals, a little tiny book with just the words, no music printed out. That was too expensive to do, but the words were all there. There were prayers. There was even some liturgies in there, and they didn't just keep it in the pew at church. They carried it with them. Some of them carried it with them everywhere they went. It was their prayer book. Can we still do that today in an age of big screens and praise bands? Do we still need that today? In an age when we have gone electronic in virtually every way that we consume our media, our hymns and the hymnal and the prayers found therein, something different. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Tuesday afternoon. It's October the 4th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor John Solberger joins us here for the first half hour. We're going to talk about daily use of the church's prayer book, the hymnal. A little bit later in this first hour, Pastor David Peterson will join us. We're going to start a series with him, a five-part weekly series on preaching. Today, we're going to talk about disciplined prayer. Now, you can join us for the next 2 hours. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet as well, @issuesetc. If you go to our Facebook fan page, you're going to notice the Issues Etc. YouTube video, the latest one that's up there. There's an offer to win the complete Lutheran library. Read all about it at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Hour two of Issues Etc. We've got Sarah Pulliam Bailey of GetReligion.org joining us to talk about media coverage of a sports and news story. Josh Hamilton of the Texas Rangers was involved in throwing out the first pitch with a young boy who lost his father at the beginning of the season. His father went for a ball at a Rangers game and fell to his death. We'll talk about that story and others. Bob Leko will join us after that to talk about the new apostolic movement being headed by C. Peter Wagner, who used to just be a church growth guru. Now he's an apostle, or at least he says he's an apostle. Pastor John Solberger is pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. He made a presentation at a recent Higher Things Youth Conference titled Being in the Word and Praying Without Ceasing. John, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be back.
I think before we talk about daily individual use of and family use of the hymnal, we've got to make the case for the hymnal in this age of big screens and praise bands. Do that, if you would.
Well, sure. And there's probably several fronts that you could talk about why a hymnal is needed over the other media that's out there today. But probably one of the most important is that, especially in a day of increasing use of technology and so forth, that's changeable stuff. That's rapidly changeable stuff. The hymnal is almost otherworldly now, and that's what the church is really all about. We don't bring the world into the church. We all know probably from Sunday school on that we're supposed to be in the church influencing the world, not the other way around. And so this book, this almost archaic thing that we can tangibly hold in our hand, is something that doesn't change as rapidly, and that reflects God's word certainly more than a rapidly changing media or the less personal items on a screen, a large screen up front. But the biggest thing is that we're not in church to reflect the culture, and a hymnal is that changeless thing that represents for us an unchanging word.
What did those Christians of not too long ago, John, we're talking about my grandparents, your grandparents, our great-grandparents, for whom the hymnal was a bedside book as much as it was a book for the pew. What did they know, what did they realize that we have forgotten?
Well, they probably, you know, were familiar, if not with the term itself, the idea of the Holy Writ, the thing that's written down, recorded for us, as John says in the last part of his gospel. These things are written that we may believe. And they knew that this hymnal gave them words from outside themselves, Todd. It wasn't subjective thoughts. It wasn't emotionalism that changes with the hour. This word that they had in their prayer books, and as you mentioned in the introduction, took with them many places, if not everywhere, had something for them in all the times of their life, good and bad. It was that word to pray and to sing and to speak that was God's word for them.
So let's get down to what most Christians would probably consider to be very basic. Being in the Word is a phrase we often hear used among Christians. We're encouraged to be in the Word, to remain in the Word. That's a biblical concept, but in everyday life, what does that mean?
Well, I don't think people really know, Todd. They know the phrase, and they know it's a good thing. It's kind of one of those things we just nod our heads and automatically agree with, but we really got to think past the end of our nose on that. What does it mean? How can I be in the Word? Exactly how does a person go about doing that? Should I read through the whole Bible? Should I pick certain passages? And if so, which ones? It's a big book. And this idea of just maybe reading through the Bible just because I read through the Bible, it deserves more thought than this. God has given us His Word. He gives it to us first, and then He gives us that Word also so that we may speak it back to Him. And the hymnal zeroes us in on the reason we pray and praise and give thanks. It gives us the words to do so. It does so with the proper words in the right order at the right time. So being in the Word is not really that hard of a thing to answer as to how is it done, because the hymnal answers that for us with everything that's in it laid out in order by an orderly God's ordered Word.
Are you talking about the hymnal as a substitute for the Bible?
Well, absolutely not, but I think it certainly reflects Jesus' words in Matthew 28 that everything is to be taught that He commanded. I believe a good primer for knowing how to read your Bible is to first, perhaps, read your hymnal. In the same way, we could say that about the small catechism. These things teach the Holy Scripture that when we have our beloved Bibles, we can know that we have been instructed in a proper distinction between law and gospel, between what kind of literature we're reading, whether it's historic or narrative or symbolic or revelatory. The hymnal does such a great job of giving us teaching. It gives us a confession of faith, a profession of that faith. It also, especially in its hymnody and also in the liturgical sentences that we say, can teach us how that word is given to us, what it means for us, and how it blesses us.
But that means overcoming yet another hurdle that I think has become sadly all too popular among Christians, and that is we've been told or become convinced somehow, John, that if it's words from a book, if it's someone else's words, Or maybe if it's words recorded a long time ago, they can't be ours. They can't be sincere. They can't be from the heart. Therefore, they're not as spiritual. How would you respond to that?
Well, yeah, we are dealing in a have-it-your-own-way fast-food culture, to coin a phrase from an ad of many years ago. But that's when it started. Things need to be so personalized and customized to us. But that, we have to realize, Todd, is a very subjective way and kind of a dicey, chancy, iffy way to go about regarding the words that God has given us. There really is, if we are a new creation in Christ, which the people who may have a problem with reading a written down prayer, especially from an old book, they still have a very sincere notion to know that they are saved by Christ, they are forgiven, they are made new by Him. If we realize that's true, we also realize that He doesn't leave it up to us to save ourselves, and therefore doesn't leave it up to us to have to come up with profound or meaningful or at least appropriate words when we pray, when we sing to Him, when we worship Him. He's given us a word. And I think it comes down to this idea, Todd, that a written down prayer is okay. Old stuff that precedes us is actually beneficial because God, above all, is a good father. And a father doesn't expect his children to do things unless he first teaches them how to do it and gives them that which they need to do it. And these old books, these written down prayers and liturgies, they are a good father giving us what we need to talk to him and be spoken to by him.
When we come back from this break, we're going to talk with Pastor John Solberger about praying without ceasing. The hymnal plays a part in that, or at least it can play a part in that. We are coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, October the 4th. We're talking about the daily use of the church's prayer book, the hymnal. Pastor John Solberger is our guest. He's pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. We'll be right back. Here's an opportunity for you to get up to 75% off many of the resources you hear us promote on Issues Etc. It's Concordia Publishing House's warehouse sale from 8 in the morning until noon on Saturday, November 5th. Concordia Publishing House is located south of Interstate 44 at 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. The 2011 warehouse sale, Saturday morning, November the 5th at Concordia Publishing House, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Y'all been hearing about Country Bob's all-purpose sauce and how it tastes great on any and everything you may be cooking and serving at your family dinner table. Well, over the years, I've discovered that Country Bob's is much more than that. You see, Country Bob's is that secret ingredient in many of my recipes, whether it be for chili soups or stews or that favorite marinade for the select meat of the day we're grilling. If you're interested in discovering the secret, log on to countrybobs.com and check out their blog, exchange recipes, or buy yourself a Country Bob's cookbook and become part of the Country Bob's family. And remember, it all comes down to the sauce.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor John Solberger is our guest. We're talking about the daily use of the church's prayer book, the hymnal. Another one of those phrases that Christians are fond of, but I think it is sometimes terribly guilt-inducing because we, again, like the previous one of being in the Word, John, we simply don't think it through about what it means to actually pray without ceasing. Where does the hymnal fit, or where can the hymnal fit into an answer to that question?
Well, first of all, it really directs us in a proper understanding of prayer of it itself in the first place. When we hear this, pray without ceasing, it's part of our fallen human flesh, the old sinful nature, to say, oh, well, that's up to me. How can I come up with the right words? How can I always be a man or a woman of prayer? And we lay it all on ourselves, guilt-inducing, as you've said. The hymnal is great in that it gives us so many different ways to pray and the words with which to pray, and as far as the praying without ceasing goes, now, literally, that would be ridiculous, and our Lord has given us daily vocations of work and relationships and other types of things that it would make folding your hands, closing your eyes 24 hours a day impossible. So what really does this mean? God is a God of order again, like I said before. He gives us prayer throughout our entire day. One of many things in the hymnal, we don't have time today to go into all of them, but one of the things that God does that we may pray throughout our entire day in an ordered way are the prayer offices. And we've maybe heard these terms before, matins and vespers, morning prayer, evening prayer, or compline, which is sometimes known as prayer at the end of the day. Our current hymnal in the LCMS, the Lutheran Service Book, even has shorter versions of these prayer offices. And they can literally take someone who has a busier schedule, as little as 5 or 10 minutes. That gives you Bible verses to add. It brings you through the proper way to pray for the time of day that you're in. Just like we have hymns in the hymnal for different times of the church year, we have prayer offices that take us throughout our church day.
Now, this, again, I guess we do tend to think of this very individually. Okay, it's just going to be me with my hymnal. And sometimes it will be. Can it also be in the context of the family, that guide in what so many Christians wish they had but don't have, and that is a devotional life for the family?
Yes, and one of the reasons we fail to do it is because we don't know how to go about doing that. Sometimes sometimes churches will celebrate the morning prayer office called matins, or the morning prayer office itself. And so they kind of associate that with, oh, well, that can only be done in church. I mean, that can only be done with the pastor leading it. Now, for these particular prayer offices, they are for the head of the household to lead and are actually very customizable and even meant for use in the home, for the family's devotions. Like you said, even individuals, couples can do this, and families. Everyone can follow along. The head of the household is given by God in a proper calling and vocation to lead these. So they are certainly for use in the home throughout the entire week between Sundays at church.
The advantage here seems to be, and we're going to come back to this as we have already several times in our conversation, not having to come up with anything smart, original, cute, funny, interesting on our own. This really is, in many ways, echoing those who have come before us in a very literal way. Isn't it?
It is. This is, we always seem to admire the cultures out there that have great tradition and pass things on orally, is certainly also written down. You know, I know that the American Indian culture, the Native American culture, is very revered in popular culture for their history and their heritage. Well, we have the same thing through the heritage of God's Word being handed down. Apostolically and prophetically, we get these things through the Bible, and those biblical truths are taught and expressed through our hymns, the liturgies, the prayers that are in our prayer book called the hymnal. And the great thing about all of that is that we are seeing something bigger than ourselves, but yet it is still so personal. We think of Luther's morning or evening prayer, where we say, I commend myself, my body and soul and all things to the Father. let your holy angel be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. When you've got something weighing on you, or several things weighing on you, when you say the phrase of a prayer that was written by Dr. Martin Luther over, 450 years ago, and you say, I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things, a Christian will be very comforted by that. And we might all be surprised, even if we think we're having a bad time and we're weak in the faith, how knowing that we have commended all things to him will grant us a quiet night's sleep and peace at the last.
Now, I don't want to end this conversation without coming back to where the real center of a Christian's devotional life must remain. It's not the prayer closet. It's not even family devotions, as good as those things may be. It is Sunday morning. It is the gathering of God's people around the preaching of the word and the administration of the sacraments. How can the use, daily use of a hymnal better connect, for lack of a better word, Christian families, fathers, mothers, children, to what's happening on a regular basis where God is doing his thing on Sunday morning?
Well, that's the excellent thing. These prayer offices are meant as an extension of the divine service of Sunday morning where we all gather at the church. And when we stay in this book, and by the way, along those lines, why a book, a hymnal, instead of the big screen, or maybe even instead of just some electronic form like your iPod or your iPhone or even a paper form? Well, we get everything out there in the world in these forms, and to have the book in the home and in the church and have it be the same one, Todd, links us with the life of the church so that this Sunday morning experience isn't something we need to take 15 or 20 minutes to get used to. We're in the holy space of the church. Things are different here, and this is here. And then we put that book away in the pew and never see it again until next Sunday. We leave that grace of living in the Word of God and praying without ceasing right there. But when that book comes with us and becomes part of the daily life of the individual, the couple, the family, we never really leave the life of the church, and we will grow in that Word, gain an even greater appreciation for it. And we will find that when the struggles that will come up in a fallen world hit us, we are much better prepared, as are our children.
One of my favorite passages from St. Paul, when he's writing to young Pastor Timothy, if I'm not mistaken, he urges upon him the pattern of sound words. And he talks about having received it from me. He says, you received it from me, this pattern of sound words. Now, he may well be talking about his apostolic letters, the divinely inspired scriptures. Could he also be talking about this life of devotion that has this pattern that is common to all Christians, this ancient pattern indeed that we find reflected in our hymnals today?
And indeed, that is exactly what it is. We talk about how the culture this day prefers something off the page, more personal, heartfelt, if you will, spontaneous even. But these things which Paul is commending to Timothy are these orders, even these liturgies we have, which give a comfort that's objective and not dependent on what you're doing or how you're feeling. And yes, these things which are commended to us through our hymnal this day have an antiquity that isn't just impressive because of the span of time since they were first handed down, but the fact that they have been handed down ever since. And these are the words of eternal life. Where else would we turn? And there is comfort there that has been given to saints of old and saints anew. And that is a legacy better than any changing or innovation that today can offer.
One final brief word of caution, if you would, Pastor Solberger. There are hymnals and then there are hymnals. There are ones that, well, the hymns in them, quite frankly, may not be able to be sung by a straight face with a straight face because they're not as closely tied or bound to what Scripture clearly teaches. So what's your best recommendation? Kind of a thumbnail criteria for picking that hymnal that can become part of your daily prayer book?
Well, excellent question. First of all, I guess for those who are a little less catechized, a little less formally taught in Christian instruction, look for something that doesn't claim to have a new word in it. look for something that doesn't claim to have all the answers by a new way of thinking. Pick something that is more ancient. It will have its roots in those times closer when the apostles first gleaned the things from our Lord. Secondly, and I would recommend the catechism alongside this recommendation of choosing a hymnal, is it a hymnal that distinguishes the law and the gospel? In other words, is it giving you all something to do? Is this hymnal full of words and songs that are all about how you feel about God? Are they more centered on what we do for God than what God has objectively done for all of us? Look for something that extols a God who forgives sins by grace and without expecting anything but giving all.
Pastor John Sulberger is pastor of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Louisville, Nebraska. He made a presentation at a recent Higher Things Youth Conference titled Being in the Word and Praying Without Ceasing. John, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time beginning a series with Pastor David Peterson. It's a five-part weekly series on preaching. Today, we're going to talk about disciplined prayer as one of the keys to better hearing and better delivering God's Word on Sunday morning. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Mount Zion Lutheran, Greenfield, Wisconsin. Pilgrim Lutheran, West Bend, Wisconsin. Messiah Lutheran, Lebanon, Illinois. Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Redeemer Lutheran, Jackson, Wyoming. Messiah Lutheran, Marysville, Washington. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Houston, Texas. St. Matthew's Lutheran, Bon Terre, Missouri. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Hope Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Trinity Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Collinsville, Illinois. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Oak Park, Illinois. Bethany Lutheran, Naperville, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Candace Smith from Louisiana has made medical history. She's the first woman with cystic fibrosis, a lung disease, to deliver triplets. The unexpected pregnancy floored her, and later the news of triplets seemed overwhelming at first. Her doctors recommended abortion, but she refused. Candace carried the identical girls for 28 weeks until her lung function became critical. Doctors delivered Brooklyn, Savannah, and Dakota by emergency cesarean. They all weighed just 2 pounds, but were healthy, and after 3 months, they all went home with their parents. Candace said, "It has been the hardest fight of my life, but worth every second. I would have died for my girls if I'd had to." Spoken like a true mom. Please pray this new family is blessed with continued good health.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.